Greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. I was blessed by the singing and the atmosphere of love for Jesus. Let's keep loving him more and more. And God bless you who testified that how the Lord has helped you. Thank the Lord. Keep walking with Jesus. This morning, the message is on being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's two verses there that speak about being the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that the temple, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Two wonderful verses about being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep your finger there and turn over to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, the last two verses, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Similar thought. Very powerful, very good. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So here are four of the most beautiful verses in the Bible that talk about us as Christians. Remember, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a beautiful, wonderful, powerful thought. And when we dwell in these four verses, it inspires us to be a better person. When we dwell on these four verses about being the temple of the Holy Ghost, it inspires us to live godly, holy lives and experience personal holiness in the fear of God. So as we look at these four verses this morning, I think of the quotation here I have from Andrew Murray about being the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's very meaningful. Andrew Murray said this, "I will meditate and be still until something of the overwhelming glory of the truth falls upon me. I am to be his temple. In the secret place of my heart, he dwells upon the throne. I do now tremblingly accept this blessed truth, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God Almighty, dwells in me." And then this prayer, "Oh my Father, reveal within me what it means to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, lest I sin against thee by saying it and not living it." A very good prayer. Oh, my Father, reveal within me what it means to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, lest I sin before thee by saying it and not living it. God, help us to live it and really be the temple of the Holy Ghost. As we see these four verses there in chapter 3, 16 and 17, and chapter 6, 19 and 20, I'd like to examine these verses. There's seven different words and phrases. There's so much packed into those four verses. So we'll look at seven different words and phrases that help us understand what it means to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Number one, the word temple. The word temple is used four times in 3, 16, and 17. Know ye not, you're the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man be the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's mentioned four times in 15 and 16, and I got a problem. I'm going to have to get my glasses. A little difficult to see. So the word temple is a special word. Verse 16 and 17 there. Ye are not in this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Four times. And then also in chapter 6, 19 and 20, and it talks about verse 19, once it says, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So here's temple mentioned. A temple is a beautiful structure. It's just not a shabby old shack. It's a beautiful structure. So as we think of us being the temple of the Holy Ghost, it raises up, inspires us to do better, be better. I borrowed a beautiful glass dish from my wife. It's not a temple, but it does give you, it's a vessel, an object lesson to help us look at and think about what God wants, requires, expects of us as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Something beautiful, special, to be used with care. The temples that are built are beautiful. We read of Solomon's temple, and the description of it, gold and beautiful pillars of stone, and it was a beautiful place. It wasn't just some old shack. And then in England, you see pictures of St. Paul's Cathedral and Westminster Abbey and places like that, beautiful temples, places of worship, even this old building you have here, the Gothic architecture, ancient architecture pointing to God. There's something worshipful about this place. It was designed to be. And God designed us, our bodies, you and I, He designed us to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. By design, we're supposed to be the container, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, a temple, not an old shack. It's a high calling. Think of yourself, Christian, think of yourself as the temple of the Holy Ghost and the high calling. Sit a little straighter, sit straight, keep your head high. It's a high calling, special calling, beautiful. Wonderful, awesome, humbling, but it is a high calling to be the temple of God. So as we think about being the temple, as we sit up straighter, it helps us to grow in the Lord. It helps us to do better. And the more we understand about the temple, here as we read in these four different verses, it means more, the precious experience of being the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it helps us as we think about the creation of God, the design of God, how He designed you and I as Christians to be the temple, the dwelling place of God. Who's that? Who is God? The Spirit of God? The same Spirit that moved on the face of the waters back in creation wants to dwell in your heart and mine. The same blessed Holy Ghost that came down upon Jesus in His baptism wants to dwell within your heart and mine. The same Spirit that's poured out in Pentecost wants to dwell within us. To be the temple of the Holy Ghost is a special, special privilege. Or think of this beautiful glass dish, to be the container, a vessel to bear, have within us the blessed presence of the Holy Ghost. What a high calling, what a blessing. And so Jesus promised there in John 14, 15, He said, "I will send the Comforter." And He has sent Him, and He's here, He's with us. And He can fill our hearts. And Jesus said, He will dwell with you. He will dwell in you. And here in 3:16, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you," lives within us. As we think of that, concentrate on that, pray about that, then it becomes more real that we can be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Number two, a little phrase, "Know ye not," and "What know ye not?" 3:16, "Know ye not." And then 6:19, "What know ye not?" I find that fascinating. It wakes us up. "Know ye not." Even that word, "what." "What" kind of stands alone almost. It's "what" with a question mark. "What?" Is that a complete sentence? Almost. It shows surprise. Paul's saying to the Corinthians, "What? Don't you remember that you're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Well, the Corinthians had lots of problems. We know that. He wrote to them and he said, "Have you forgotten that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost?" And so "what" is kind of a shock, kind of a surprise. Like if your little boy threw a baseball through the window and broke the window, you might say, "What? Didn't you know that you're not supposed to throw balls at the window?" Surprise, shock. And so here he says, "What?" But I think it's good for us to look at that "what." Have we thought about it, that we're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost? "Know ye not," 3:16, and "what know ye not," in 6:19, reminds us that maybe we haven't thought about it enough, and maybe we should concentrate on it more. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians there, he said, "Did you forget that you're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're acting terrible," he said. "Maybe you forgot that you're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost by the way you're acting. Think about it. You're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to act like the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so when he said to us here, he writes now, what? Know ye not? Know ye not? Do you know you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Can you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's a good question. Can you really know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Well, let's think of it this way. Can you know you're born again? Yes. Can you know that your sins are forgiven? Yes, you can. Can you know that you have peace with God? Yes, thank the Lord. Can you know you're ready to meet God if he should come this moment? Yes, you can. Can you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, you can, and you must, and we may. It's a tremendous privilege. And so as we study these phrases and words, the more we think about being the temple of the Holy Ghost, the more real it becomes. And the more real it becomes that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, friends, the more help we get from his dwelling within us. And that's God's plan and God's design, that we get lots of help from God dwelling within us, because, as he says, he's designed us to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. So let's keep thinking about it, praying about it. Make sure you are. Are you like the people at Corinth, that you forgot you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you acting terrible like they did? Or is there changes you need to make and stop, start over again or whatever, and say, now, Lord, today, yes, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Help me to act like it and help me to live like it and help me to talk like it and be the temple of the Holy Ghost so that you are pleased. It's a special privilege to be his temple. It was God's design. Let our hearts be filled with the Holy Ghost, and he will be glorified and honored. Know ye not? Let's always remember, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. We can know it and live it. Point three here, some little words, and just words, ye and you. Ye and you are very direct. The address here to us is very direct. You, ye. And occurs over and over. Notice chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The direct approach here, it really reaches our hearts. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. It's so direct. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Then go down to chapter 6, 19 and 20. Notice the ye's and the you's there too. How direct it is. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's so good. It's so direct. Now, there's other verses in the Bible that are more general. Someone this morning quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's general. It's a promise to every person that's living in the world today. And we have the privilege of taking a promise like that and saying, that's for me. But it's general. However, these ye's and you's really grip us because it's you. Not just everyone else, it's you, it's ye. And I like that because it's like this truth of us supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost is we're directly hit with it from the Scriptures. You, ye. And that's good because it hits our hearts, it makes us hungry, it draws on us, it pulls on us, and it makes us to want to be the temple of the Holy Ghost because it's so directly addressed to our hearts. So the ye and the you, we read it, we take it, and it comes I, me. Yes, that's for me. A blessing that we can experience the being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Very personal, very precious. Number four, there's a phrase here. Ye are not your own. It's in chapter 6, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? That's the phrase we're looking at. Ye are not your own. We're so used to owning things. We have a home. We own it. And that's okay. That's good. It's a blessing. We have a vehicle, a car, a pickup truck. We own furniture, we own tools, and we own a lot of things. We're so used to owning things, maybe sometimes we think we own ourselves, and we don't. We are not our own. It says so clearly here. And that's good to think about as we develop the thinking of being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we are not our own. Think of that. We don't own ourselves. We are borrowed. We're living in a borrowed vessel. I borrowed this from my wife. Technically, my object lesson is this. This is not mine. It's borrowed. And remember, your temple, the temple of your body, you don't own it yourself. You're living in a borrowed vessel. And that makes us really responsible to God. Really responsible to God. We have to answer to God. We're living in a borrowed vessel, and we have to give it back. Someday we're going to have to give it back. Stand before God. Different scriptures talk about every one of us will have to give an account to God. And when we think of us as Christians, being the temple of the Holy Ghost, living in a borrowed vessel, we don't own our own bodies. We're not our own. We are going to have to give account to God who owns us. We have to give back this borrowed vessel. What if it's all messed up? If I got this all muddy and dirty and I gave it back, she would say, "What? Didn't you remember this is a borrowed vessel? Did you think it was your own? It's all messed up. Did you forget that it's mine? Did you forget to keep it clean? What happened? What went wrong? Did you forget? It's not yours. It's mine. It's all messed up." And so God will be the same. When we come before God, and you're all messed up, He'll say, "Did you forget that you're a borrowed vessel and you're supposed to be clean? And you got it all messed up? Did you forget you're not your own? Did you think you're your own? You can do what you can, do what you want, and get away with it?" No. God will say, "I'm so sorry, you missed the point. You are not your own." And that's what these verses are saying to us, which we need to get really into our heads. We don't have any rights or privileges of ourselves to go and get all messed up, because we're supposed to be a clean vessel, the vessel, the temple of the Holy Ghost, borrowed, a borrowed vessel. We have to give ourselves back to God, and we have to be clean when we get back to God, because we belong to Him. Let's keep pure. Let's get pure. Let's keep pure, because we are not our own. Number five, another phrase here, or word, actually. It's the word defile. 3:17, 1 Corinthians 3:17. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." The temple of God is holy. You're supposed to be the temple of God. You're supposed to be holy. And defilement means messed up, dirty. It's a little bit same as the last point. We just kind of progress on as we look at these different words. And so when we think of defilement, the defilement of the temple, Jesus spoke of it there pretty good in a good way in Mark chapter 7. Turn back with me to Gospel of Mark chapter 7. Read here what Jesus said about defilement of the he didn't mention the temple, but he talks from within, the things that are within a man, how they defile. Mark 7, 20 to 23. Jesus lists some defilements here and uses the same word defile twice. That's the word we're on right now, defiling the temple. Mark 7, 20 to 23. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." There's a whole list of bad things here. from within. And he says they defile the man. And back to 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God. Now we're talking about the danger, awful danger of defiling this temple. Now here's this beautiful glass dish. What would we use it for? Put the potato peelings in it? No, because it's a special dish. Would you keep the dog food in it? No, we wouldn't. It's a special dish. When you dig carrots in the garden, would you wash the carrots in this dish? No, any of those things would defile this dish, this container, this vessel. And so when we think of the we have to be so careful we don't defile God's temple, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our appetites, our desires, our inner man. Be so careful you don't defile God's temple. And so constantly remember, you're living in a borrowed temple, a borrowed vessel, and you have to keep it clean. I have a handwritten list of carnal traits. I'll add to what Jesus said here, and you think about this. Do these defile the temple? Being stubborn, arrogant, domineering, sullen, harsh, bossy, resentful, bitter, hatred, envy, jealousy, being critical and fault-finding, anger, evil lust, dirty mind, evil thoughts, pouty, touchy, easily offended, sarcastic, rude, quarreling, unforgiving, grouchy, rivalry, sour. Would these things defile the temple? Yes. Yes, these things would defile the temple. If you were bitter, bitterness down in there, would that defile the temple? Yes, it would. If you had evil thoughts, carnal desires, sinful, immoral appetites, does that defile the temple? Yes. How about bad attitudes towards others, unforgiveness, resentment? Does that defile the temple? And a lot of these things, friends, are within. Sometimes they pop out, but as Jesus taught, he said, it's those things within that defile the temple. And often that's what we need to just really think about and concentrate. What's in my temple, down in my heart, my appetites, my thoughts, my attitudes, my desires? What's down there? What are they like? Do they defile the temple of God? And too often or often, people just think about that which slips out, and maybe they say, because there's bitterness in down here in the temple, maybe sometimes they say mean words, and then they feel bad about it, and they say, I'm sorry, Lord, maybe even apologize to the other person, and that's right, that's good, we ought to. Say, sorry, Lord, I repent of that. But they go on to live with bitterness in their hearts. It's almost like we're covering it up and protecting it, or maybe excusing it, or we like it too much. And people who have immoral thoughts, sometimes they like those thoughts. They do. If they hated them, they'd get rid of them. But if you like immoral thoughts, you'll cling to them. Once in a while, that comes out in bad actions, and maybe you say, sorry, Lord, for what I've done, what I've thought, what I've read, what I've looked at, what I've spoken. Sorry, Lord, and repent. But you need the cleansing of the temple. The heart needs to be cleansed, delivered, and purified from the thing that made you say that, made you do that, made you look at that, made you go over there to that bad place. And so when Christ talks about cleansing the temple, in the old days, the temple was cleansed, and here in this day today too, God wants our hearts, our temple, our vessel to be pure and holy. And so when we think of that which defiles, this one word, defile, if any man defile, we're just analyzing what defile means. And make dirty, messy, sinful, selfish, carnal, and any of those things I read on the list or any of the things in Christ's list, if they're still in your heart, dear friend, if you had a struggle with that and you tried to overcome it and you can't get rid of it, be encouraged. God can help you. If you haven't overcome the sinful, carnal passions in your heart, you still can. Praise the Lord. The power of Christ goes deep. And the most hazardous spill on earth that's ever happened is the sin that got into people's hearts, and it goes deep. The sin nature is rooted deep in our hearts. But, thank God, the power of the blood of Jesus goes deeper still and can cleanse it out of our hearts so we can be a pure temple and walk in the fear of God every day. Oh, may God help each one to experience a deep cleansing of the heart. And so sometimes you come to a point in your life where you just have to stop and say, look, what I have in my heart, that attitude is wrong. And you renounce it, you hate it, don't just say sorry for it. That's a start, yes. Repent, I'm sorry. But take responsibility for it and label it, hate it, renounce it, and hate it so much that, well, God will come to your help then and get you cleaned out. Yeah, if you still love it, if you're still protecting it, what can God do? But once you recognize it, see it scripturally wrong, to be carnal, pouty, grouchy, bossy, harsh, jealous, once you see that's wrong before God, and you hate it enough and renounce it enough, God will come to your aid and he'll cleanse out your heart so you can have a clean temple so you're not defiled before God. The Lord will help you. Number six, little statement here, bought with a price, chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. And of course, that's why we're not our own, and we dealt with that phrase, you're not your own. Now we're looking at you're bought with a price. There's a very special little thought. That's why we're not our own. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We've been bought with a price. The price of a temple is usually quite great. How much did it cost to build Solomon's temple? How much did it cost to build Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's Cathedral? Or how much did it cost to build this beautiful church? The cost of a temple is usually high. And so how much did it cost God to make you his temple? It was a high price that was paid to make you and I his temple. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. Gives us the price here. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. First of all, the commandment to be a holy temple. Doesn't use the word temple, but it mentions holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now the price, verse 18, first part of verse 18, first part of 19. 18, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It was a high price. It was not cheap salvation. It was a high cost that Christ paid to redeem us, purify us, cleanse us, and purchase us to be his own vessel. He paid a high price. When you really think about it, God put a high value on you and I being a temple for him. He placed a high value on that, so high that he gave his own son. All the blood of beasts and goats would never do it. That went through a stage. But he came to the point where he, fullness of time, that Jesus was sent to die. He was sent to suffer. He suffered immeasurably. It was awful. It was horrible. He paid a tremendous price to make you and I a holy temple, a glorious, golden, holy, pure, clean dwelling place for the Holy Ghost. What a high cost he paid. And so, if I was careless with this dish, got all messed up, dirty, chipped, and broken, it would not be much fun to give it back. She would say, I paid a lot for that dish. I paid a lot. And now it's all messed up. I paid a lot. And now it's junk. And so, think of it, the cost before Jesus. What it cost. Seems to me I missed something in my notes here. Yeah, back in the last point, him will God destroy. I was going to bring that point out. If I gave the dish back all messed up and defiled and no good anymore, she'd just say, well, it's no good anymore. We'll just throw it in the junk. And why, what's God going to do? If you come back before him all messed up and your temple's all messed up and you haven't taken care of it and it's all a real mess, on judgment day, God's not going to do any cleansing. Some people are going to be thrown in the junk on judgment day. And if you are defiled when you meet God on judgment day, your opportunities to clean up are over, and God will destroy you. And he will, in a sense, you'd say, throw you in the junk. And that's pretty serious, that warning. Him will God destroy. Anyway, we're back now to point six. Bought with a price. Cost a lot. Like I say, she might say that I paid a lot for this thing, and now you've got it all messed up, and it's no good. And so when we think of our bodies and our tremendous responsibility to God, that we are not our own, we're bought with a price, we belong to him. We don't have any rights of our own. Our obligation is to be holy before God, holy in our hearts, filled with his goodness, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then, if we stay clean for Jesus, I think for him it will make it a little more worthwhile, all the suffering he went through. A little more worthwhile of all the cost, the price that he paid. So let's reward him in that way. Reward him for his suffering by being pure, holy temples. Make sure we stay that way until he takes us home. Final point, number seven. Back to our scripture here. Chapter 6. Verse 20, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. If you get your temple clean and keep it clean, it will glorify God. Now it says body and spirit, and that speaks to me of our whole outer life and our whole inner life. Our outer life is what you look at, the words you say, the places you go, what your hands do, where your feet take you, all those outer things. If we're the temple of the Holy Ghost and walk in obedience and purity and holiness, all those things we do will bring glory and honor to God because we're doing just what he wants us to do. And then there's the inner man, and sometimes that's the harder one for people, your attitude, your feelings, your thought life, inner, your attitude, appetites, actions within, reactions. How you feel, imaginations, all brought into holiness. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So to be the temple of the Holy Ghost day by day, outer life, inner life, to me is the most practical teaching of the Scripture. It's so practical to be taught here and realize that we're to be the temple of the Holy Ghost on the daily scene. It's just so practical. And being the temple of the Holy Ghost to me is the basis for all the rules of our conduct. The rules we have within our home, how the children may act or not act, it's all based on being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Being the temple of the Holy Ghost to me is the foundation of how our churches have a line drawn on this is acceptable, that's not acceptable. The foundation of all our church rules or regulations or standards, which we try to maintain in the fear of God, are scriptural principles, yes. But the foundation of it all to me is that we are trying to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're trying to live it out in everyday life. We're trying to take this teaching of being the temple of the Holy Ghost and apply it to our church, to our homes, to our conduct, to our business, how we act, how we react, how we interact with others. All our relationships are based on the fact we are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so it's so practical. All our principles we have of modesty of dress is because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. All our aspects of separation from the world and technology or music or conduct or whatever, separation from the world where we draw the line, it's because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's so important that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that we use it, apply it, I guess I should say, in a practical, everyday way. And sometimes we get thinking that, well, now we're going to have to be the temple of the Holy Ghost because we're planning to go to New York City and pass out tracts. And if you're going to New York City to pass out tracts, you sure do need to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. But bring it home in your home everyday scene. In the daily grind of the home affairs and life and making a living and raising a family, we need to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we do. It's so important and so practical. Children, the duties that children have and the relationships in the family and the relationship between husband and wife. It's so blessed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost and have God's help on the daily scene in everyday life. Can you be a better mother if you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why, sure. Can you be a better father if you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, you can. Can you have a better marriage relationship, better husband, better wife if you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Your children behave better if you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Yes. And young people, youth, can you keep your lives pure and be constructive and obedient and helpful and conduct yourself in a holy way by being the temple of the Holy Ghost? Well, most certainly you can, and God bless you. And so when you get up in the morning, think about it. I am to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you can give a prayer to God and say, Lord, today you've called me to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Help me to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Make that the foundation of your day and all you do, your actions, where you go, what you do. Remember, you're a borrowed vessel. You have to give yourself back to God. Keep it clean. Keep it pure. Close with Andrew Murray's quote again. I will meditate and be still until something of the overwhelming glory of the truth falls upon me. I am to be his temple. In the secret place of my heart, he dwells upon the throne. I do now tremblingly accept the blessed truth. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God Almighty, dwells in me. O my Father, reveal within me what it means to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, lest I sin against thee by saying it and not living it. Let us stand for prayer. Let us pray. Our holy God, you're such a loving, wonderful God. You're so great, high, and holy. You're so special in that you love us so much and have mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you've done to help us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost as a gift to our hearts. Thank you for the design of us being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now I pray in practical application that each one of us here might go from this place more conscious than ever of your holy calling to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Go with them to their homes, I pray. Help them to be Holy Ghost-filled temples as father, mother, parents, husband-wife relationship with each other, youth in the home. Keep them pure from the evil of the world. It's possible. It's your design. Thank you, God. And for the children, may they grow up in the fear of God, to also love Jesus, live for Jesus, and be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And, oh, my Father, reveal within each one of us what it means to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, lest we sin against thee by saying it and not living it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.